We'll locate the May 23rd, 2014 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. Another successful Dayton Hamvention is in the books. We secured lots of forum audio, experienced a rainy weekend, but were pleased with the overall turnout of crazed hams from around the world. Okay, let's get down to business with this first excerpt from the 2014 Hamvention. This is the rain report.
Why can't I just send a message to a call sign, and it doesn't matter what device is in his pocket, he gets that message.
The voice of Bob Breninga, WB4APR, the father of APRS, the automatic packet reporting system, one of amateur radio's oldest digital modes. Bob spoke during the APRS forum at the 2014 Dayton Hamvention.
One of my frustrations is that people only use APRS for vehicle tracking, and it was never designed for vehicle tracking. It was designed to be a universal data channel where everything in the ham radio that's going on, information is put on that channel. We have text messaging. We had text messaging a decade before cell phones did, and yet 95% of ham radio operators don't know about it, never used it, and never would use text messaging anyway, because who would use a touch-tone keypad for sending messages? There's 26 different text messaging systems in ham radio, and it's frustrating to me that most of them are not cross-connected. You're in some system, you send a message, you can only send a message to some people in that same system. There's no reason for that. Every one of these systems can be interfaced to the APRS system, or a lot of them have an internet backbone anyway, so why can't I just send a message to a call sign, and it doesn't matter what device is in his pocket, he gets that message. That's been my goal since 2001. I beg the authors that are in this room to let's just keep working on that objective. You know, we have universal text messaging. You don't need to, in APRS, all you need to know is a call sign, enter a message, and it goes anywhere in the world to that person. But there shouldn't be a requirement that he has to have APRS on the other end to receive it. So now all the radios, recent APRS production radios, have that built in. The other thing they have built in is frequency objects. The most important thing in ham radio in order to communicate on VHF is where are you? What side of the planet are you on? Are you in local range? And number two is what frequency you're on. So APRS did not include frequency when it was invented 20 years ago, but we added it 10 years ago. 10 years ago now, every one of your position reports should include the frequency that you're monitoring. This is human-to-human communications. And so Kenwood and Yaesu have stepped up to the plate, and now if you configure your radio properly, your operating frequency goes into your position packet. And yet half of the radios that are out there that can do this, it's not turned on. And if you can eventually contact the guy, he says, well, I don't know how to do it. Now read the manual. Next, most people know that the Kenwood control head, you can take it off the radio and hook it up to your HT or any other radio, because all of the APRS functionality is built into the control head itself. So you can even attach it to a walkie-talkie at your desk and continue to operate APRS from your desk. I'm glad to see that we're over the hump a decade ago when every new product in APRS was a new one-way transmit-only tracker. And that's an anathema to ham radio in that you can see this guy driving down the road. You can see where he is. There's an emergency out in that area. And you got no way to know how to contact him because he's not telling you what frequency he's monitoring. Or if he's a one-way tracker, you can't even send him a message. I'm glad to see now that most of the manufacturers now have a two-way tracker that can send and receive text messaging. And I think that's where we need to go. Now, there's nothing wrong with one-way trackers, you know, in an event where you're tracking the lead runner and all that kind of stuff. We need lots of one-way trackers. But if there's a ham radio in that vehicle, I really want to see the ability to communicate with the guy. Lots of other radios. This is getting back to every device should have an APRS app so that you can communicate. Last year, we experimented taking radios into the caves. They don't work. Ham operators have known that for years, and I said, yeah, but this is VHF, UHF. It'll just go right down there like a waveguide. No, it won't. You can see a guy at the end of the tunnel. You can yell at him and communicate better than RF. And the reason is it's just like a huge attenuator. And so what we wanted to do was put a bunch of D-72s, because those can digipete, and have a bunch of people walk down through the cave with D-72s, but only had two of those, but we ended up with a bunch of D-700s. And so we were able to penetrate a mile underground, which is farther than anybody has ever communicated in a cave, you know, direct. Now, of course, you can communicate straight up and down through HF and other techniques, but this is the ability that everybody along that one mile passage with just their HT could text message and report their positions and stuff. Not from GPS, but by looking at the map. You see, we put a grid on there. I called for volunteers to go down to Mammoth Cave and let's do this again. They let us into the whole cave. We had the whole cave to ourselves, and nobody volunteered. So maybe next year. I'd love to go back and try that again. Everybody knows Field Day. We also try to do the Golden Packet event on the East Coast. We try to get a packet from Georgia to Maine with 15 people along the Appalachian Trail. And we think that out west on the Continental Divide Trail and the Pacific Coast Trail, there's all kinds of trails where we could have a national event for APRS to get out in the field and do something. So again, I encourage people to consider that. It's a lot of fun with Google Maps. You don't even really need to leave your shack, and you could plan your whole thing and plan what tree you're going to sit on in the woods there to communicate. Well, this is still Google Earth. You can just lay out the rays and see what can talk to what, and then do the propagation software. And you really don't need to have visual line of sight. There is some knife edge refraction and stuff. Now, this is a topic I want to point out. A lot of people have events, and they want to move the event off of 144.39 frequency so that they don't have all that congestion of all the other traffic on the channel. But once you do that, then half the people who have their pre-programmed tracker on 144.39, they go to QSY and you spend the first half of the event trying to get everybody on the right frequency. You know, it's a mess. It's always better to just work with what works. But the thing to do during an event is simply put up your temporary digipeaters with an input on 144.99 and output on 39. That way, everybody that shows up on the event 39, they see everything. If they transmit on 39, everybody near them will see them. But the people who just push the plus 600 offset on their APRS rig will go through these temporary digipeters, and they will have priority access because there's nobody else on 144.99. So this is a very powerful technique. And here's a guy walking the Appalachian Trail, and only 30% of his transmitted packets on 144.39 were captured. But when he did plus 600, 97% of his packets got through. We all know what APRS is. I'll just zoom through it. APRS.fi, again, is the Bible for just getting a visualization of what APRS is all about. Don't forget messaging. You know, if you've got your smartphone, just go check APRS.fi, check on messages, and you can. Can somebody on the internet via APRS.fi send a message to an RF user? And that's the right way to do it because that forces everybody to be legal. But, of course, findyou.com will allow you to send a message sitting at your desk to any RF mobile that's out there. So far, nobody's abused that, but I've used that occasionally when I just want to send a message to somebody. APRS is kind of everywhere. It's really for special events and objects. And don't forget that you can put an object on the map with nothing but your HT. Now, it's not a built-in function, but when I go to a hamfest or something, and if the hamfest event is not on the map, it should be. That's part of setting up a hamfest. Is all you got to do is take your mobile radio, change the call sign to HFEST, park in the parking lot, send out a couple of packets, and now all the other APRS operators that are driving to the hamfest will see the object, they'll see where it is, and they'll know how to get there. During balloon chasing, I've used that where my radio, for some reason, is the only one that had the last position of the balloon. All I did was manually enter that position into this radio, change the call sign of this radio to last, you know, like the last position, and then transmit the beacon. And now everybody else who's chasing the balloon now sees that position on their map. So don't forget, you can use your APRS radio to put objects on the map. Don't forget to change your call sign back and your position back to your station, otherwise you're going to put a lot of garbage on the map. There's all kinds of misconceptions about APRS, and I won't go into detail. You can see what they are. All of this is a PowerPoint that's maintained on the APRS.org webpage. There's all kinds of growth opportunities. We've been around 20 years, but ham radio just is without bounds, and APRS should be a part of it as far as getting the information out as to what you're doing with that other ham radio thing. Put a beacon out on APRS so that all your APRS buddies can see what's going on and where it is. We've long thought that there ought to be an A-star gateway, which is simply an analog repeater that looks like a D-star repeater to the D-star network, but it looks like an analog repeater to the APRS users. And because the APRS radio can send and receive call signs, that is how you signal the D-star side of it, how to connect to anybody else in the world. We've been pushing that kind of global voice connectivity for about a decade now.
You're listening to the thoughts of Bob Breninga, WB4APR, the man behind APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System, one of amateur radio's oldest digital modes. We'll conclude our excerpt from his talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter at hashtag The Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Don't forget the CQ server. You can send a message to, I like to use the Salvation Army radio network. If anybody on the planet sends a message to CQ server, and the first word of that message is CQ Saturn, that puts you into that message group. And now anybody else on the planet that sends a message to CQ Saturn, all your messages get broadcast to everybody else that's logged in. So it's a way of calling global CQs by message group. We use it on field day. You can send CQ field day, and your packet will go out to every person on the planet who also sent the CQ field day message via the CQ server. It's a lot of fun. It used to be, you know, you talk to the five other local clubs in your area, and that's it for field day, but now you can just spend the whole night there playing global CQ. You know, I've been talking about APR's Touchtone since 2001, and that allows anybody with a radio to input data into APRS. So what you do is you program your call sign into DTMF memory, and now when you turn on your radio, you just send that DTMF memory number one, your call sign goes out, no position information. You don't need position information because you have just identified your call sign, where you are within the nearest 10-mile range of whatever APR's Touchtone device heard you. That goes into the global internet system with your position in that area. So when you say WB4APR mobile, that is just lost on deaf ears. When you identify by voice, that's a purely local thing, and only if somebody heard it would anybody know where you are. But with APR's Touchtone, now you go to APRS.fi anywhere in the world, and you'll see me with a one-mile ambiguity of the APRS Touchtone booth, and now anybody in the world can communicate with you, text messages, and everything else. It's 95% of what APRS is about. When did you come on the air? Where are you? And how do I contact you? And we can do that from any Touchtone radio. Fortunately, Bionics has made a little board that is a daughter board to their Tiny Tracker 4. You plug the two together, and you hook up one HT, which is the DTMF HT, to one of those boards, and the other one just to any standard radio. And those two walkie-talkies now become an APRS Touchtone node that cross-connects all the DTMF users on one side with the APRS users on the other side. You can send messages, and you can send your position report, for example. If you do not send a position report, you'll show up on the map like you are down here in the lower right-hand corner. If I sent that Touchtone on 147.105 repeater, it would just start putting you on the map as if you were a list. And every client software will display that. It doesn't know that's an APRS Touchtone packet. It's just simply an object at that location that was converted by the Touchtone receiver. We used it several years ago at Dayton. Just with two digits, two vertical digits, two horizontal digits, you can report yourself to within 100 feet anywhere in the Dayton Hamvention, including indoors. We've done that a couple of years. And so you hand this out as a 3x5 card, or you put this into the Hamvention handbook, and now anybody with a DTMF HT can show you where they are. Now, if you do not transmit one of those two-digit positions, then you'll be put out there in what we call the TT Corral, the Touchtone Corral. And that's local. Wherever you have an APRS Touchtone device, it decides where it's going to put all the call signs that it doesn't get a position data from, and it'll put them out in some corner of the parking lot where everybody knows, okay, those are all the people that are within simplex range of here but haven't exactly said where they are yet. We also looked at the map in the Dayton Hamvention book, and you can use a two-digit code of XY lat long, and you can report yourself anywhere in the entire Dayton metropolitan area within 1 mile. And that's usually close enough to let you know, where are you at your hotel? Are you at the Hamvention? Are you down at the Yazoo party or whatever? So anyway, there's just a lot of potential for APRS Touchtone. We did play with APRS RFID. Trivial, a $19 RFID device hooked into a TNC. That's all you got to do, because the RFID will just send out a 9600 baud stream. That'll go into the TNC and transmit it over APRS. And then I think Lynn in APRS ISCE has written a thing that will convert your RFID then to your call sign. Oh, and of course, we know where you are because we know where the RFID picked you up. And you say, well, how do I carry an RFID? What's the range? You put it in your sock. You put it in your shoe. And now you absolutely can step on that yellow dot wherever you see an APRS RFID floor mat, And if you want people to know that you just entered North Hall, you step on the yellow dot as you go in, and boom, all the world knows that you just entered the North Hall. And so we did that a couple of years ago. Now, if you don't know what voice alert is, ask somebody. It's the most powerful technique of using that APRS side of your radio for not only the APRS, but you're wasting that radio unless you have the speaker and the volume turned up and you set CTCS 100 so that you don't hear any packets. But now you, the human, are listening and will hear any voice call. When somebody sees you on the map, they just do CTCSS 100, call you on 144.39, and they can talk to you. I had one voice alert mobile pass me in range. I was very late. I didn't get here till 2 o'clock in the morning, so everybody else was all in front of me. I heard one guy transmitting a voice alert, and he had his volume turned down. So, you know, I called him back, and then I sent him messages, and his message box was full. When you get in your car, your APRS radio, and you've ignored messages for the last year, please go in there and delete a few to make room for people that are trying to contact you now. Because with the Yaesu radios, once the message box is full, it starts rejecting packets. You don't get the message, and that just adds QRM, because then the transmitting station keeps trying to send it, and we're not getting anywhere. Very powerful, though, to be driving down the road, hear a data burst, and call voice alert, see you on 5-2, go to 5-2, and now you've just made a contact with a guy you didn't even know was there. So APRS is all about local information, direction finding, unlimited opportunities there. Don't forget mile markers. This was a powerful technique when APRS first came out. You know, only 5% of people are driving around with APRS. The other 95%, you raise them on 5-2, and they'll tell you where they are by mile marker. Well, in the original APRS DOS, all you entered was those two-digit mile markers or three-digit mile marker, and it would put that spot on the map. And then you give that a name, and now you just said Joe is at that location, and you give him a course and speed. I mean, you know which way the direction the road's going, so you give him a direction and put him down to 65 miles an hour, and you can track that guy. Because, again, most APRS software will dead reckon, and so that guy will move along with you, or if he's going the other direction, he'll be moving in the opposite direction. So plotting other people who do not have APRS by knowing their mile marker is a very powerful technique.
The thoughts and musings of Bob Breninga, WB4APR, the man and mind behind one of amateur radio's oldest digital modes, APRS, the automatic packet reporting system, excerpted from his APRS talk given at the 2014 Dayton Hamvention this past weekend in suburban Dayton, Ohio. As a final note to this first piece of audio from the 2014 Hamvention, we were shocked and mega puzzled at the absence of an FCC forum this year. Too many ARRL 100 birthday forums, apparently. Many thanks to assistance at the Hamvention by Vern Jackson, WA0RCR, his wife Dottie, KG0VN, Hap's wife Stephanie, KA9WKD, Shirley Roberts, N8LX, and her hubby Lynn, N8LXK. Occasional rain voice Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, and the folks from DARA, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2014 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.